Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be with you this morning and have us gather together around the Lord's gifts, both in word and sacrament. It's an encouraging thought to me today that as believers in Christ, we get the blessing of expecting good. Hit me this morning, don't know why. Just a thought that went through my mind, and I thought, oh, I like that. We expect bad so often, but why, when our God is good? So we should always rest in His goodness, and He helps us do that through His gifts. We welcome you to our service this morning. Welcome those who are on the radio and tuned in. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ, and we are glad that you're here. Our opening hymn for this morning, which speaks to that a little bit, is hymn 748, I'm but a stranger here in this world. So we sing that together for our opening hymn. We do invite the congregation, if you're able, on the last verse, to please stand for our invocation on the last verse of the hymn. Let's sing together hymn 748. name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our intro from Hebrews chapter 12. Oh, come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning, the second Sunday of Lent, comes from the prophecy of Jeremiah. It's in chapter 26 that we're reading from this morning, and you definitely get the sense of what the prophets went through dealing with the self-righteousness that was so rampant in Jerusalem. We begin in verse 8 of Jeremiah 26. When Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant?'" And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now therefore, mend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our epistle lesson from the book of Philippians in the third chapter. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand for our reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. We join together in singing our sermon hymn for this morning. It's hymn 579. The law of God is good and wise. Let's sing together. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city, Jesus says, that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. Our constant prayer is that God's people continue this behavior no longer. Because Jesus is the one who loves. He comes to the world with God's love, for he is God in human flesh. And he loves the undeserved. He loves sinners. It doesn't make a lot of sense if you think about it, but that's God's heart towards people that he created. He loves them. He said in verse 34 of our gospel reading this morning, "How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." It gives us an image in our minds, if we think about it for just a second. A picture pops up of a hen watching out for her little chicks, right? Defending them with her wings that are so much larger and stronger than the little bouncing chicks. It's amazing to look at the text from our gospel reading this morning this way, but really what's in play? What's in play are two different definitions of the law. Two of them. One is Jerusalem's understanding of the law, and the other is God's understanding of his law, of his rules that he gives to his people. Each prophet that Jerusalem persecuted, stoned or killed, they did it because those prophets spoke against Jerusalem. God told them to bring that message. Like Jeremiah in our reading. God told Jeremiah what to say to the people, and poor Jeremiah, you kind of feel for this guy, right? God says, take this message. And he does. And the text said when he'd finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid a hold of him and said, "You shall die." They sort of ended that account by saying, "This man deserves the sentence of death." But why? Pay attention to why. Because he's spoken against them, against Jerusalem. They don't see it in this, but it's interesting to note. They're actually saying that God deserves death, aren't they? Since those are God's words and Jeremiah is only the messenger. Would they condemn their own Lord to death? Oh, precisely. That's exactly what they end up doing. Hanging Jesus on the cross. But they wanted to kill Jeremiah because they understood God's law to be purposed in themselves, in their own self-righteousness as a nation, in their righteous standing that they thought they had just because they had the law and they could try to observe it. And compared to their neighbor, the pagan Gentiles that surrounded Jerusalem and Judah and Israel at the time, those pagan neighbors, they didn't have the law, right? Many of them didn't even know the law and had no real knowledge of God outside of his natural revelation, his creation. How could God tell Jeremiah to speak against Jerusalem? When they were the chosen ones of God, they had the law, they knew the rules, and didn't that make them better than all those pagan nations? But God wasn't using the law, and he didn't give them the law for the purpose that they reasoned out and assumed. They assumed that they knew it and they possessed it, so they were better than their neighbor. So they couldn't understand how Jeremiah could come and prophesy against their house. They just couldn't get it. But God had a whole different understanding of the purpose of his law than they did. And he gave it to them for his reasons, not for theirs. We too have the law in our hearts and in our minds, a blessed, blessed gift from our Heavenly Father. And we can learn a great lesson because of that from our text from Luke and Jeremiah this morning. God gives law, true, to condemn sin, true, to bring forth truth in our lives, true, but not to destroy us, but rather to gather us up under his wings and protect us and save us. We have the law, but not for the reason we assume either. Because we often use the law with other people in our lives, just like Jerusalem used it with their neighbors and the prophets. We see someone, we observe them caught up in sin, lust, lost in addiction, or some other vice, breaking the law of God in an awful and grotesque ways. And what do we think? What goes through our minds when we observe God's law being desecrated or not paid attention to or disrespected? Well, we think they shouldn't do that. They shouldn't do that. I try not to do that. And I know it's wrong. But it's a slippery slope, friends. It's a slippery slope to this phrase. Good thing I'm not like them. Remember the guy praying in the gospel account saying, Lord, I thank you that you didn't make me like those dirty people over there. That guy goes home condemned. In one way, we're kind of right when we see someone breaking God's law and we go, ugh. But in a bigger way, we can be really wrong. Because we must be aware and we must remember that the law is not purposed in lifting us up. That's what Jerusalem misunderstood and why they persecuted the prophets. That's our use for the law, it's not God's. God doesn't give us his rules in life to bolster us, to make us into somebody greater than our neighbor. The rules weren't passed down and traditioned and written into the scriptures so that we could say, I'm better than them. That's not why we have what we have, friends, this blessed gift of the law. And we might think to ourselves, you know, Pastor, I don't really do that. I don't look down on other people and think that I'm better than them. So I always love to point this out because it convicts me too. Say you're driving down the street one day, yada yada, driving your car, having a good time. You drive past the recreational marijuana shop. And it catches your glance that there's lots of cars parked in the parking lot and somebody's walking out the door and you kind of look and see them. What do you think about that person? How do you feel about them? There's lots of other ways that we can get a sense for the fact that it is often true that the law, or we use it, to prop ourselves up. Well, at least I'm not like those people, Lord. There's a million ways that you can see this if you're looking for it. God doesn't give us the law for those reasons, not to bring us self-righteousness. He didn't give it to Jerusalem for that reason either, but that's how they used it, and sometimes that's how we use it. So so that we can feel okay about ourselves or better about ourselves than somebody else. He doesn't give us the law for that precise reason, that we'd use it to justify ourselves, to look down on our neighbors. The law of God that He gives us by grace makes it easy, friends, easy to notice the faults and sins of others if we know the law. But its purpose or its goal, it doesn't end there. Its purpose or its goal is not complete anywhere except for the gospel. That's where the law meets its goal. The rules or the law only find its end in the love of God displayed at the cross and resurrection of our Savior, in His forgiveness. Listen to John 3, verse 17, the verse after the most famous verse in the Bible. There it says, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. And this reveals to us God's purpose in the law, its completed purpose, its goal, is in love and salvation, not just in pointing out sin and evil. The condemnation of the law brings and moves the hearts of those who hear it to seek what? Forgiveness. The law convicts us. It brings its condemnation. It brings its guilt, its contrition, its judgment of God, so that as sinners we can hear it and see our need for Christ. That's what God's purpose is with the law. And we can know it. We can learn it as Christians and be a part of bringing the law to bear on the lives of our neighbors in the same exact way. And apart from this purpose of the law, in the new covenant, the law has very little purpose apart from this one. This is its chief purpose, we confess. Paul says it in Galatians just like this: the law is a schoolmaster to lead us unto Christ. So if we use it like Jerusalem, even thinking for one second that if we can observe it, that it makes us better than our neighbor who doesn't, then we use the law the same way as the people who killed the prophets. And if we look, and we're honest, we're also breaking the law, right? Because we can't take God's law and piecemeal it up into different parts and say, well, I'm doing okay over here on this one, Lord. But over there, I just don't really, I'm not sure. James tells us in his epistle that if you break one part of the law, you have broken the whole law. You're guilty of the whole thing. And Paul says that by works of the flesh, no flesh will be justified. By works of the law, no flesh will be justified. So it makes me imagine the law of God like a big, heavy battle sword. Like a big, heavy sword laying on the ground. And a boy who wants to be in the fight. And he'll go over to that sword, and he's not very strong. But maybe he can pick that sword up, and maybe he can even get it up high enough where he can sort of flail it around, you know? He can sort of work with it a little bit. He thinks he understands what's going on in the battle, and he wants to be a part of it, so he picks up the weapon. But what's the problem? Well, maybe he can lift it up. Maybe he can flail it around a bit. But the boy doesn't have the strength to use that sword for its purpose. If we think the law of God is purposed in anything other than the gospel, anything other than the love of Christ, then we're just like that boy, but we're using our mouths and we're wielding that sword of the word. We're just flailing all over the place and we have no clue how to use it. We're too weak to use it for its purpose. So what do we do? We hear Jesus telling us of His love for His people. Yes, and even the people that are lost in terrible and grotesque sin. Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? Jesus loves sinners. We've got to process that. He doesn't just love people that are okay, you know, they're struggling through life. He loves sinners. He loves those who misuse his law, who flail around with it. Should we do anything different when we speak the word of God than love sinners? Just because we know God's rules? No. The purpose of the law is to lead people to Christ. The purpose of the rules is to lead people to Jesus. And it will bring its condemnation when it's used. And it will bring its contrition. Its edge is sharp. But the purpose of that sharp edge is mercy and forgiveness and salvation. It's never to make you seem better than somebody else or me seem better than somebody else. The scriptures will tell us how that works out, right? The scriptures say all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none good, no, not one. That's Romans chapter 3. And real quick, before we're done, think about it this way. If you or I could keep God's law in perfection, then and only then would we have the authority to wield that sword to condemnation of others. But if we can't, then we don't even have the right to use it that way at all. It's wrong to use it. That's how Jerusalem was using it. And Jesus, the only guy who did live perfectly by the law, and he has every right and authority to use the law to destroy sinners. If you think about it too long, it gets scary how much authority he has. He's the only one that lived perfectly, and he can use that sword. Oh, it's not hard for him to pick it up, friends. He can use it quite masterfully and powerfully. But what does he do? Well, exactly what he told Herod in the gospel lesson. I still got to go to Jerusalem. And he literally doesn't use his authority or the authority of the law for any other purpose than to bring forgiveness to us. All authority on heaven and earth, he uses the law for you. He goes underneath its condemnation and underneath its destruction on the cross because of his love for you and me. And he uses God's rules for its perfect and true purpose that would give life to us sinners. He has the right to use it to destroy us, but he doesn't. He uses it to love us. And we certainly should never use his law in any other way with anyone ever than that. He literally bore the destruction of the law to bring his love to bear, to bring his forgiveness to us. See, when Jesus says, "Oh, Jerusalem, how long to gather your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings," he isn't just speaking about the past. It's pretty interesting. He speaks of exactly what he's going to do in Jerusalem when he says that, precisely that. He'll gather his little ones under his wings, but his wings are outstretched on the cross to provide us safety, like it says in Psalm 17, to hide us in the shadow of his wings. May we be the apple of his eye. There under his wings, he will shield us by grace and by mercy, that even though we've broken God's law, and even though we've used it to judge others, and lift ourselves up above them. When we see someone doing wrong and think, well, at least I'm not as bad as those, even though we've acted like Jerusalem when they slayed the prophets, God forgives and gathers us up in his care and his mercy under his wings, and he protects us from that self-righteous and egotistical wiles of the devil that would tempt us to use his law the wrong way. And he explains it to us this morning so that even though we're weak, me too, and unable to pick up that heavy sword and use it the right way, he doesn't leave us alone, but he sends his Spirit to be with us and to guide us and to lead us in all truth. His Spirit that always accompanies his word, so that every time it's spoken, he's at work to save and to bring mercy. So now that we know, we're blessed by Christ to know the purpose of the law of God. Yeah, it brings condemnation and it brings guilt, but all that is for the purpose of love and mercy. So let us hold our tongues, unless we're using the law for his love to lead others to Christ. For outside of that, it has no purpose at all. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to stand, if you're able, as we confess our faith together this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. We're there on page 6 in the bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We now come to our time of prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, remember the congregations of your church, which you have purchased with the holy blood of your Son. Strengthen and defend all pastors, church workers, congregation members, giving them every good gift as they attend to your people. Cause us rightly to fear your anger and rejoice in your redemption. Lord, in your mercy, remember us in a world convulsed by the wages of sin. As we watch nations falter, remind us that our eternal citizenship is in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ, who will subject all things to himself. As we watch our own bodies fail, remind us that Christ will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. Lord, in your mercy, remember the households of this congregation, O Lord. Provide help and give companionship to those who feel alone, and foster love between husbands and wives, parents and children, that our homes would not be places of brokenness, to worship our bellies and glory in our shame with our minds set on earthly things, but our homes would be a refuge while we're here and a foretaste of our eternal and heavenly home. Lord, in your mercy, remember our nation and those who you've placed in authority, O Lord. Give them wisdom and integrity, and grant that they neither they nor their citizens of our land would hinder your church or despise your call to repentance. Or don't let them hinder the preaching of the gospel. We ask humbly, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, remember the sick and afflicted today. Oh Lord, we name before you from the altar Jeff Autopolic, the family of Linda Struenberg. Lord, be with Pastor Lyle. Comfort him. Lord, also Adam and Andrea, Joyce Austin, Sandra Cody, Jim Schrader, Dick Greitz, Bob Phillips, Larry Reinbarger, Susan St. Cyr, the family of Gary and Joette Heiser, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Lori Hauser, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, deliver them for the sake of Christ, who cast out demons and performed cures on his way to the cross. Strengthen their faith to hold fast to him, who rose again to raise them also. Lord, in your mercy. Remember this household of faith, O Lord, and gather us together at your altar as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and unite us in true confession of your word, sincere repentance for our sins, and joyful confidence in your Son's body and blood for our forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. Remember us, O Lord, for the sake of your Son, who suffered the reproach of mankind as he bore our sins to the cross. Strengthen us gladly to bear reproach in your name and declare your salvation. And all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, dear Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. For our offering this morning, we'll have some instrumental music while the plates are passed. And once the plates are passed and the offerings are given, then we'll join in singing in the offertory together. It's at the bottom of page 7. You've been joining us on the radio this morning. We thank you for tuning in. If you're gathered in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to turn over to page 8 in your bulletin, and please stand now if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern California.